Okay, good morning. I had to make sure that it was on and that I paused. My husband Henry is on sound and he's like, I'm gonna make sure you're muted when you start. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, you're more than welcome to have a seat. Good morning. Again, I'm Esther. If I haven't had the chance of meeting you, my husband Henry is on sound. So if the mic goes in and out, it's not me, I promise. It is the person who is controlling the microphone. But on the note of my husband, I have to give the biggest shout out and honor and thanks to Henry, because there is something so powerful about being equally yoked. There's something so powerful about being in a marriage with someone who hears from the Holy Spirit himself and who encourages me and blesses me and is also able to be a listening and a sounding board for what our church needs to hear. And so I talked with Henry a lot this week about, okay, like, am I hearing God right? Am I not hearing God right? Like, is this a yes? Is this a no? And he was my sounding board for a lot of things. And God just really put on my heart that it's not about who's up here preaching, but it's about what does God want to say to us as a body? What does God want to say to Exchange Community Church? And so Henry and I love you all so much. And we both believe, and I believe that what I am about to share this morning is a message for our church, and hopefully you feel encouraged, not inspired. I don't need you to be inspired. I am not an inspirational speaker. I am not an influencer. I'm here to deliver the word of God, and I hope that it blesses you, that it encourages you, and that you step foot out of these doors this morning, and you say, okay, I'm on mission, because that's my prayer for us this morning. And so, Lord, I thank you. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you. That's all I have on my lips this morning is gratitude and a thankful heart that you are the God of the impossible, that you are a God who does above and beyond immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. And I thank you, God, that the days of exchange, better days are still ahead. And I thank you that you are doing a good work in our church to see Jesus reflected in this area. So we thank you for this time. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to talk a lot about Henry this morning because I love Henry dearly. And I have this relationship with Henry that you all do not. And next May, so May of 2027, if you want to start planning ahead to celebrate our 10-year wedding anniversary, we are celebrating 10 years next year in May. And it will have been a decade of us being married, but we actually met 10 years ago this spring. So we've been together for a decade. And the more I get to know Henry, the more I get to know my sweet, loving husband, I find more and more that we are very, 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 very heavy emphasis on the very different. Any other married people here who are like, yeah, I married a total opposite to me. No, I'm alone. Okay, great, I'm not alone. Our biggest difference, please do not come over to our house if we invite you to watch a movie. Chances are we will be doom scrolling, finding something to watch. And by the time we agree on something to watch, it's 9:30. I am tired. I will be asleep by opening credits end. And so we can't agree on something to watch. We're very different. Our expectations on cleanliness is very different. We are very on opposite ends on top sheets. I am team top sheet. Anybody? Yes, I am team top sheet. And I will not say who is not. Our driving styles are different. Henry is a night owl. He can be up until 12:30, 1 in the morning, and be fine. I need to be in bed by 9:30, and I am out. On the flip side, I'm a morning bird. 5:30 wake up, not a big deal. 4:30 wake up, not a big deal. 4:30 in the morning, Henry is out. He doesn't even hear my alarm clock. He doesn't hear the crying baby. Wildly different. Henry is very thoughtful. He's very meticulous when it comes to decision making. I can be a little bit more impulsive and a little bit more hasty, but I'm still careful, don't worry. But over the years, over the decade, I've come to see that we are very, very different. But I've also come to see that we are also very, very, very similar. And over the time that we've known each other, this intimacy that we've built is something that can only happen through time spent together, through conversations that we've had, through dialogue, through tears, through spoken and unspoken things with each other, toward each other, and the quality time that we have, because intimacy can't be just be built just by sitting next to each other and just being like, right? There has to be something that helps you build, and speaking, communicating is one of the biggest things. And as we have gotten to know each other more, I have to think back and I have to remember that just as my intimacy with Henry has evolved and has changed and has deepened over the years, my intimacy with the Lord, there has to be a growth. There has to be a widened growth, but also a deepening growth that happens. And that happens by spending time with the Lord. That happens when he becomes the first person you run to when you have an anguish, but also when you have something to celebrate. He becomes your default person when there's something that's on your heart that weighs heavenly. He becomes your default person when you want to celebrate, when there's something good. And God becomes your default person because of this relationship of depth that you have with the Lord. And how does that happen, right? We know reading the Word of God, worship, prayer, those are, I would say, some of the fundamental ways of how we deepen our intimacy with the Lord. And so as I was preparing this morning, I just felt like the Lord was saying, okay, we're talking about prayer. We've covered how do we pray. We've covered what to pray. We've covered why we pray. And I was like, no, like that's not it, God. Like there's something more. There's something deeper. There's a depth to the heartbeat of exchange that you want delivered. I felt like the Lord was saying, have your church hear on how to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. Because I wonder if many of us have let prayer, reading the Bible, having a time of worship, be things that we just check off on our list of things to do. Hey, I did my Christian duty for the day. Now I get to just live my life. I get to go to Carline, go do a pickup, et cetera, et cetera. But no, that's not what relationship, that's not what intimacy with the Lord is about. And intimacy with the Lord is about, you don't just worship, but you are a worshiper. You don't just read the Word of God, but you allow the Word of God to do a good work in you, through you, and for you. You don't just pray, but praying becomes your lifestyle. It becomes second nature to breathing. And I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, let's teach exchange. How do you cultivate this lifestyle of prayer where praying is almost like the air that you breathe, where praying, just as I'm speaking to you, is a prayer in itself, where prayer isn't something that we dread, isn't something that we have to wake up to do on a Saturday morning, where prayer isn't something that I have to do because someone asked me to pray for them, but prayer is, Holy Spirit, you are with me. As I inhale, as I exhale, there's a cultivating lifestyle of prayer. And I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, we need to be a church whose rhythm, you have your daily cadence, our rhythm of our day-to-day is prayer and not something that we just include in the day or sprinkle in throughout the day, but it is who we are as a DNA of our church, where prayer becomes our lifestyle and it becomes like we're breathing. And so because I wonder, right, because I don't know about you guys, but the word discipline intimidates me. when you say that you lack a discipline, when someone tells me that I lack a discipline, I'm like, ooh, I just get really guarded. And I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, you need to sharpen your discipline. And that was something that I felt the Lord was telling me. Hey, you need to become more disciplined in this. And so I was like, okay, Lord, I'm going to commit to doing X, Y, and Z because I know that I need to be disciplined. And there are reasons why we need to be disciplined in reading the Word. We need to be disciplined in praying. We need to have the discipline of being in worship. We need these things. But then the Lord was saying, hey, did you know that discipline without intimacy is works? And I was like, ouch. Because I can be doing all these things for the Lord and have no intimacy with him. I could be reading the Bible and I could spew out every Bible verse from Genesis to Revelation and not have a single clue on the heartbeat of God who spoke these words. I can say, hey, I'm praying for you and have no power, no authority in what I'm praying because I have no intimacy. Discipline without intimacy is works. However, discipline plus intimacy is relationship. And I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, let's teach our church. Let's teach our church how to live a life of prayer, how to let prayer become our lifestyle, become a part of our DNA. And let's cultivate this. Let's cultivate it. Let's stir something in our hearts because we are supposed to pray. Prayer is just us talking to God. It's just us communicating to God. And it's just doing it throughout the day. And so Pastor Mark and Pastor Ellie have spoken great messages on prayer. And Pastor Mark last week, he said that prayer is my expression of faith in God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit. And I asked for permission already. I'm going to add on to that. Prayer is my expression of faith to God through Jesus by the Holy Spirit to cultivate and to deepen my intimacy with the Lord. Because if I pray, I can pray and pray and pray. But if I don't have an intimate relationship with the Lord, it means nothing. I can be talking to Henry all day long, but if there's no relationship, it does nothing. I can be talking to you. I could be talking to a stranger. But if there's no relationship, if there's no intimacy, it gets nowhere. And likewise with our prayer life, God wants our intimacy with him. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we're told to pray continuously. When I first read this verse, I'm like, so I'm just supposed to be walking around praying, dear God, I pray for this, I pray for that. But then it's like, no. That's not what praying continuously is. Praying continuously isn't just time during the day. Praying continuously isn't saying, bye world, I'm going to go into my prayer closet and just pray, and all you do is pray. No, because we have things we need to do. We have the gospel to share. We have a mission that we need to accomplish, and so that can't be it. But praying continuously is a constant awareness of the presence of God and cultivating a prayerful attitude throughout the day. Amen. It's being constantly aware, just having God in the forefront of your mind, having God in the forefront of everything that you do, and just being constantly aware of his presence and having a prayerful attitude. So how do we do this, right? Because it's like, okay, so how? How do I cultivate a lifestyle of prayer if this is so important? And the reason I felt like this was a word for our church is because I felt like the Lord was saying, hey, Exchange, if we want to be a church that has a culture of prayer, as the people of Exchange, we need to have a lifestyle of prayer. Because culture of a church cannot come just from the visions of our senior pastors. The culture of our church is built when we collectively, as a body of Christ, are doing what we're supposed to do. And so if we want to be a church who is a house of prayer, then we need to become men and women who live a lifestyle of prayer. And so how? How do I cultivate this lifestyle of prayer and a life that is marked by prayer? So, and it's not necessarily how do I pray, because I want to make sure that I draw a distinction, because Pastor Mark and Pastor Ellie have done great jobs on teaching us on how to pray, why to pray, what is prayer. If you missed the message, please go back and take a listen. But I want to talk about how do we cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, because I don't think it's practical, and it's not like a, this is how you do it, and I'm going to give you like a worksheet and like a 1-2-3 step on how to, but it comes from a revelation. The first way to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer is to ask God for a revelation of sonship and to have a posture of humility. So how do I cultivate a lifestyle of prayer? You need to know who you are. You need to know who God is and who God says you are, and we need to have a posture of humility. And so the first bit, the revelation of sonship. When we pray, we direct our prayers to God. Even this morning, I said, dear God, right? Dear Heavenly Father. And we have a dear Jesus, dear Holy Spirit, dear God. And there's someone to whom we direct our prayer. But as we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, Jesus teaches us to pray our Father in heaven. In Greek and in Aramaic, Father is Abba. In Korean, is Appa. And so every time my little Emero says, Abba, 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 to me that's Abba, 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 our Father in heaven. And here's the thing, Jesus doesn't say we pray to God. We don't pray to Lord. We don't pray to Master. He says we pray to our Father. Do you know why? Because it means you have access. You have access that no one else does. You have access to our Father. You have access to the King of Kings. You have access to the Lord of Lords. You have access to the Maker of heaven and earth. You have access to the Healer. You have access to the Provider. You have direct access because you are His child. I love Reagan. I love Mutza. I love Amelia and Jacob. I love Caleb. I love all your children. But they don't have access to me 24/7 because I am not their mother. Henry is not their father. But Dina, who has full access to me 24/7, my girls, because they are my children. And as children of God, you have full access to our Father in heaven. And if that is not liberating to you, and if that doesn't encourage you, and if that doesn't excite you, I'm praying that you get a little bit more excited, a little bit more of a pep in your step, saying, hey, every time I pray to my Father, He has given me direct access. And I have direct access. I can approach Him, I can go before Him, and I can talk to Him because He is my Father. In Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are His children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. So we share in His glory, we also share in His suffering. In the moment of salvation, the moment you say yes to Jesus being your Lord and Savior, you have access to our Father. That means you go from dead to being alive. It means you go from being broken to being whole. You go from being an orphan to being adopted. You go from having nothing to inheriting everything. And if that doesn't stir your spirit, and if that doesn't say, hey, I have access because I am a son, because I am a daughter of the Lord Most High, if that doesn't encourage your faith and say, hey, I want to cultivate this life of prayer a little bit more because I want to know, how can I access my Father? You can. You just simply can. Because you are His beloved. Because you are His child. John chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. But all who believed in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. And they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. You are reborn. You are reborn. You have been adopted. You are now a child of God, and you have access. And so when you pray, I hope you remember, you're not just praying to a God out there in the abyss. Every time you pray, dear God, dear Heavenly Father, your prayers are not just being out there in the world so anyone can patch it up, pick it up, and do whatever they want with those words. But when you are praying directly to your Father because you have access to Him, and that is your right as a child of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16 says, because of Jesus, we can boldly approach His throne room of grace where we find mercy in times of need. You can boldly. My children, my Eleanor, granted, if Henry is with me, she will boldly run to Henry over me, but if I'm with Emma Rose, she will boldly run to Emma Rose over me, but that's not the point, right? As children, we can boldly run. We can boldly run to our Father because we know that we have that kind of access. And so you can boldly approach His throne room of grace and you will find mercy. And so let your cultivating of this lifestyle of prayer be one that comes from sonship. And if you don't have that revelation this morning, you're like, my relationship with my own dad is just wonky. I don't know what it looks like. I don't know what it feels like. I don't know what it sounds like to have a good father. I don't know what it means to be a daughter or to be a son. Can I just pray with you? And can I just encourage you? Let that be your step one. Because when you have this revelation of sonship, that's going to be the centerpiece and that's going to be the foundation from where you cultivate your prayer life. The second is going to be a posture of humility. And I'm sure you're just thinking, well, you just told us to be bold. Now you're telling us to be humble. It's not either or, but it's both and. Because humility and boldness and confidence, They are not opposite ends. They are the same thing. Humility is a posture. Humility isn't saying, oh, woe is me, I am unworthy. Yes, there's a part of that, right? That is humility, right? There's a part of where we are in the presence of God, we say, Lord, woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips. I don't deserve to behold your glory, but through Jesus we can. That's why sonship is important. Because of Jesus, we can. Humility is not, oh, no, don't do that. No, I don't deserve that. People come up to me and say, great job, Esther. Oh, no, that wasn't me, though. No, no, thank you. That's not humility. Humility is not taking away credit. Humility is not looking down on yourself. Humility is not saying, oh, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that. Humility is not what the world will tell you of, oh, I'm not enough, I am not good enough. Can I tell you what that is? That is actually pride. Because your perspective of what you see, your perspective of how you think is based on yourself. Because pride is actually about me-centeredness. When everything revolves around me, when everything is about me, how I feel, how I think, how I look, me, 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 that is pride. That is me-centeredness. Humility is when I remove myself from the center of my problems and I put God into the center of my life. Humility is when I take myself out of the situation, I remove myself from the equation. I remove myself from what I want. I remove me, and we put it with God. And we say, Lord, take this away. Remove me. Remove all of this. But it's just you. That's humility. And so when we approach the throne of grace with confidence, we can boldly approach and have a posture of humility. And so I pray that as we cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, that you remember who you are, that you remember to whom you belong, and with that, you have a humble posture of saying, yes, you are my Father, you're still Lord, and I bow before you, and we have that posture. And why is that important in our prayer life? Because when we have a posture of humility, our list of prayers, our list of concerns, everything that we want to pray about, it becomes an offering. Instead of things that I want God to answer, instead of things that I want God to do on my behalf, on the behalf of my church, on the behalf of the nation, on the behalf of my friends, my family, et cetera, it becomes about God and it becomes an offering. As I was preparing, the image that God gave me was, you know, I have like a little, my prayer journal, and I have a list of things, right? So-and-so needs healing. So-and-so needs a breakthrough. So-and-so needs this. So-and-so needs that. My dad, my parents, my grandma, the church, right? The list goes on and on and on and on. And prayer and having a prayer life and having a heart and a posture of humility isn't saying, okay, Lord, are you going to check this off? Check, check. Oh, you answered this. You didn't answer this. So I'll circle back and I'll come back to it next week. This one you answered. This one you kind of answered. No, that's not what it be. That's not what a posture of humility is. Instead, you have this prayer list and you come before God and you say, Lord, here it is. Here's my list of prayers. Here's my list of concerns. Here are the needs that I have. Here are the healing and the breakthrough that I want. But instead of, I'm going to present them to you. And I'm going to present it to you as an offering. Because I acknowledge I don't have these answers. I don't have a way of doing anything. All I can do is with a posture of humility is to bring them before you as an offering for you to do what you will do with it. Because I don't demand from God. I don't say, God, you have to do this. You have to do that. You have to answer this. You have to. I think there are times in moments of desperation and in moments of just authentic relationship with the Lord, you can. We look at the book of Psalms and David is like, God, how could you? But God, I worship you. God, how could you do this? I felt so alone. But I have a heart of worship. And so there are moments for that with lament, with grief, when we pray, when we intercede. There are times for that, but still the heart is a heart of posture. Because Apostle Paul, he doesn't say demand these requests to God, but he says present. Present these requests to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind. We present our requests to God as an offering because we stay humble. And having a prayer life, having a heart that is cultivated, a lifestyle that is cultivated by prayer, it changes how I live my day to day because I relinquish the outcome to God. a lot of times we have our prayer requests. There are things that we pray for, and it weighs us down, right? And I fall prey to this all the time, where I have so many things I'm praying about, so many people I'm praying for, and I just feel heavy, right? And you just feel the weight of it on your shoulders, and you're like, whew, it's getting a little heavy here, right? But that's not what we do. With the posture of humility, we say, Lord, here it is. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And we surrender it, we give it to God with a posture of humility and say, Lord, here it is as an offering unto you. Do what you will with what I present to you. And so to cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, I pray that you have a revelation of sonship, that you know that you have direct access to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker of heaven and earth, and that you would approach him boldly with the posture of humility. And so why, right? Okay, so cultivate a lifestyle of prayer, great, but why? And I want to make sure I draw the line. It's not why we pray, but it's why should I want a lifestyle of prayer, right? Why can't I just pray throughout the day? Why can't I just pray as prayer requests come? Why can't I just pray at 6 a.m. on a Saturday? Why can't I just pray during my quiet time? Why can't I just pray? I'm not saying don't. Please do. But I wanted to talk specifically on this lifestyle of prayer where praying becomes like breathing, where every step that you take, you are in step with the tune of the Holy Spirit, and prayer is an awareness of his presence, and you are just constantly in communication and constant dialogue. Why? At the end of the day, my mission on this earth isn't to look more and more like me. My mission at the end of the day is to look more and more like Jesus. When people see me, I want them to see Jesus. When people talk to me, I want them to experience the peace of Jesus. When people come and spend time with me, I want them to feel the hospitality of Jesus. When people come and step into my midst and my life of chaos with 2 girls and a toddler and a 7-year-old who doesn't know how to clean up after themselves, I hope they come and experience the patience of Jesus. I hope that they experience love. And I hope that they experience Jesus when they spend time with me. And so at the end of the day, on the day of my deathbed, I want people to say, she walked like Jesus. She lived her life like Jesus. She smelled like Jesus. She looked like Jesus. Maybe not smell, because, you know, hygiene back then was a little different. But I want people to be like, no, the aroma of Christ was with Esther. And so why do I desire to cultivate this lifestyle of prayer? Because I want to look more and more like Jesus. I want to sound more and more like Jesus. When I talk to classmates, friends, and classmates' parents at pickup line, I want them to hear Jesus. As Henry speaks with his coworkers, I want them to hear and feel the empowerment and the authority of Jesus that is in him when he leads meetings and when he speaks with his coworkers. I want people to know that I'm marked by Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So all of us, and this is New Living Translation, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect. That's important. You see and you reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. ESV says that we are beholding the glory of God, that we see his glory, that we behold his glory, and that we reflect his glory because we are being changed to be more and more like him. A lifestyle of prayer, as we behold the glory of the Lord, keeps us humble. It keeps our identity as sons and daughters in our forefront, and we stay pure in our heart. And as you live this lifestyle, can I tell you what happens? You change. I change. Every time I pray, my circumstances don't change immediately, but do you know what does happen? My perspective changes. I no longer conform to the patterns of this world, but I am renewed by the transforming of my mind. That happens when I live a lifestyle of prayer. I am changed from the inside and out. Because how we live our life is going to reflect how we pray. And some of us, myself included, as I was preparing for this, I was like, ooh, is how I live a reflection of my prayer life? Am I walking in the authority of Jesus in my day-to-day because my prayer life, I have cultivated this prayer life that shows authority, that shows gentleness, that shows kindness, that shows compassion, that shows love, that shows tenderheartedness. Am I living this way? Am I speaking this way? And is my life a reflection of what I pray and how I pray? Or is my life no different than someone who lives three doors down the road from me and doesn't know the name of Jesus? Because how we live changes by how we pray. And having a lifestyle of prayer is attached to what we believe as a church, knowing God, making him known, building his church, and bringing heaven to earth. And so I am more and more convinced that as a church, as a corporate body of Christ, the culture of prayer at Exchange is going to be a direct reflection of our personal prayer life. And when people walk into this atmosphere of worship, I want them to know, I want them to feel this tangible presence of the Lord that says, ooh, there's something different about this church, and it's the way they worship, because we are worshipers. Ooh, the way that these people pray is different. It's because you have a lifestyle of prayer. And I pray that that would be our church. To tie it all together, I want to share with you guys an answered prayer and a testimony, because also something that prayer does and why we cultivate a lifestyle of prayer is because of the testimony. The ways that God answers these prayers is one of the reasons why we get to live out our faith, we walk out our faith, have a lifestyle of prayer arm in arm with one another, is because Henry, my sweet husband, is an answered prayer, and I started praying for my husband when I was in the eighth grade. I know y'all are like, my kid is in the eighth grade, and my kid doesn't know the difference between a unicorn and a horse, right? Eighth grade is when I started praying for my future husband, because my dad is a pastor, and he was leading and teaching our youth group Bible study that time. And he shared his story on how he met my mom and how my mom and he knew each other, were the one that they were going to marry. And so he encouraged me to start praying for my future husband when I was in the eighth grade. Granted, how I prayed in eighth grade looked very different as I became my mid-20s. And as I became my mid-20s, the prayers became more frequent. They became more detailed. They became a little bit more urgent. But in the fall of 2025, I really felt the Lord put on my heart, hey, Esther, prayer has become something that you just do. Can prayer become something that you live? And I was like, oh, that's a big challenge. Okay. And so that's when I started to personally develop and desire this lifestyle of prayer. And it happened to coincide with, oh, I really want to get married soon. Exchange was starting. There were no men on the market. No men on the market. I had just gotten a full-time teaching position, and there were no men on the staff. And if they were, they were either a little too young or a little too seasoned. And I was like, Lord, my options are very limited here. And so I started praying, and when I started praying, I do what all women do, all the single ladies. Lord, I pray for someone who knows Jesus. I pray that he is compassionate, that he is kind, that he is caring, that he is generous, that he loves the church, that he is tall, dark, and handsome, and tall. I want to wear my high heels, that he's a good cook. And the list went on and on and on and on. And my Henry is tall, dark, and handsome. He is tall in Eleanor's perspective. I'm just kidding. I love my husband dearly. But the strangest thing happened. I took out this journal last night, actually, and read through it, because I've been experiencing breakthroughs in answered prayers of friends meeting people and whatnot. And so I'm like, okay, let me go back and look through my own journal. And so I looked at the journal, and literally the first page is like, Lord, I can't wait to meet someone. Would you just bring him into my life? And I was like, oh, there we go. And then I looked back onto the last page, and the last page literally said, Lord, I just surrender it to you. And so this journey of praying, this lifestyle of praying, it changed, and it went from, Lord, here is what I want in my husband, here's who I want him to be, and here is who you need to bring into my life. And it turned into, Lord, can you mold me into a wife who is worthy to be praised? Can you mold me into a person who is going to carry a mantle of responsibility as someone's wife, as someone's partner? Can you show me areas that I need to surrender? Because marriage and meeting someone is not the end goal. My marriage has to mean something. So what are the areas I need to surrender? What are the things I need to work on? What are the things that you need to do a work in me before I even meet someone? And it's really funny how during this season, this journey, I approached God as God. Here's what I want. Here's who I want. And it shifted into, Father, you know what's best for me. You know who is best for me because you are a good God and I have access to you. And if you can break open the heavens for someone else, you will do it for me. If you can part the Red Sea for the Israelites to run through, you can open and you can part the impossibilities for me to meet someone because you are a good God. You are a good Father. And as I lean into sonship, this heart goes from what I want, check off, check, 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 not check, let's recircle this, let's revisit this, to, Lord, I just offer it to you. I just surrender it to you. And here's not what I want, but here's what I want, you want for me. And here it is to you. And so my season ended, still no Henry. I'm like, Lord, I prayed, I fasted. I fasted from August until February. Where is he? And you know what? This is why being in community is so helpful. As I prayed, as I fasted, as I sought the Lord, someone encouraged me to try online dating. They were like, girl, there are no men at Exchange. There are no men at your work. Try online dating. And a couple of months later, I met Henry. The rest of the story is wild. You guys need to meet me for coffee if you want to hear about how God works. But long story short, Henry and I met, and here we are 10 years later because he is an answered prayer. But the prayers don't stop because my lifestyle is a prayer, not just what I do. God, you answered my prayer, now I'm good. No. Did you know that once you get married, the prayer list gets longer and longer? What you surrender gets wider and wider and deeper because you see more of the glory of God, and you want to reflect it more and more. And so how I pray, what I pray, has radically continued to be deeper and so much stronger. And so call to action, call to action. First, how do I cultivate this lifestyle of prayer? You start. You just start. Right? It starts with starting. You cannot pray unless you pray. You cannot have a lifestyle of prayer unless you start living it. A year ago, I decided I wanted to do something about my health, and so I started. I started working out, and I'm seeing the benefits of it, but you just have to start. Pastor Ellie said last week, you learn how to pray by praying, right? And if you are not sure where to start and how to start your prayer, the Lord's Prayer is a great model. It's not a formula, because there's no right or wrong way. This plus this plus this is that. It's not a method, because what works for you might not work for me. But the Lord's Prayer is a perfect model on how to start. And if you want a little bit more practical, I'm more than happy to share with you how I started praying and how I learned to pray to start cultivating a lifestyle of prayer. But first, just start. Just start. And if you're like, well, I don't know where to start, come to Saturday morning prayer at 6 o'clock. I will buy you coffee after, because right now we have instant coffee and it might not be as good. But come to Saturday morning prayer and I will gladly treat you to coffee and you can talk to me. We can talk about prayer and how to cultivate this life of prayer and why. Second, pray out loud. A lot of us are stuck praying in our minds because of insecurity, because of doubt, because of worry. You're worried how you might sound. You don't want to distract the person to your left or to your right who's praying, but I want to encourage you, pray out loud. And here's why. Scripture tells us that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Scripture tells us that we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. There is something to be said about praying out loud. Very honest, here's what happens when I pray in my mind. Dear Lord, Thank you for my youth ministry. Thank you for Autumn. Thank you for the gifts that you have for her. I think I was supposed to call Autumn. Wait, I was supposed to text her. Wait, let me just check. And I'm on my phone, and I'm like, oh, wait, we have discipleship group. Do I need to cook for them? When I pray in my mind, I'm so prone to like ADD, like squirrel, and lose track on what I'm praying. But when I pray out loud, I'm focused because I can hear what I'm praying. I can articulate what I want to say. And hey, if the person to my left or to my right hear me, who cares? I'm not praying to them. I'm praying to God. And if they happen to eavesdrop on my conversation and they're encouraged, great. If they happen to eavesdrop on my conversation and they are touched a little bit, great. But my conversation is with God. I'm not praying to you. I don't need Pablo to hear my prayers to hear how holy I am with my prayer life. No, like my prayer is to God. So pray out loud. Even if it's a small silent whisper. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for Exchange Community Church. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. It can start with the whisper. God doesn't care how loud. The louder you are doesn't reach heaven faster, right? So just pray out loud. Pray out loud. Third action step, write it down. Write it down because there is power in our testimony. I was able to look back at the prayers that I wrote out and prayed for some of our girls. And I got to take pictures of it and send them last night and be like, dang, look at what God does. Look at what he's doing. Look at how good he is. And you're able to look back and say, thank you, Lord. And we're able to trace back on the ways that he has worked on our behalf. And if he hasn't answered your prayers yet, you get to look back and see how far he's carried you through that journey. You get to see his faithfulness through the hard season. You get to see his faithfulness with you as you're going through what you're going through today, and we remain steadfast in faith, knowing that he is good, that he will answer in his due time. And so as we cultivate our lifestyle of prayer, church, it's going to be tempting to be like, okay, my lifestyle of prayer is great. I prayed all day yesterday. I prayed 30 minutes this morning. I'm going to pray 45 minutes tonight. My lifestyle of prayer is great. No. We cannot quantitatively measure our growth and our lifestyle of prayer. We measure our growth and our lifestyle of prayer by asking ourselves, was I more aware of the presence of God today than I did yesterday? Do I know God a little bit more intimately today than I did yesterday? Am I hearing God a little bit more clearer today than I did yesterday? Do I love God more today than I loved him yesterday? That is how we measure our lifestyle of prayer and whether it is growing or not. And it's a good heart check to be like, ooh, I didn't do this yesterday. Okay, I'm going to restart today. Oh, I don't think I heard from God yesterday. Okay, let me just fine-tune my ears, fine-tune my heart and say, okay, Lord, speak to me today. Lord, I wasn't diligent and I didn't make effort to be aware of your presence yesterday, but this morning, but today, right now, I'm aware of your presence. Henry does this so beautifully. Sometimes it scares me because we'll be driving and he's like, thank you, Jesus. And I'm like, okay. But how beautiful it is for me, how beautiful it is for my girls that we're just driving and all of a sudden he's like, hallelujah. He's like, thank you, Jesus. And how this lifestyle of prayer just spews out of who he is. This lifestyle of prayer just kind of spews out of who we are. And church, I am so convinced that we are meant to be a house of worship and a house of prayer. But that only happens when we are worshipers, and it only happens when we are people with a lifestyle of prayer. And I cannot want this for you. Right? I can't be like, Rob, you have to pray, right? Discipline without intimacy is works. And we're not about works. We're about intimacy, right? We go wide, we go deep, and there's an intimacy with the Holy Spirit, an intimacy with the Lord that gets to grow over time as we live a lifestyle of prayer, not just praying, but we live it as our day-to-day life. And so this morning, I really felt on my heart to say, okay, there's some of us in this room who are like, hey, I am in step with the Holy Spirit. I have a lifestyle of prayer. But there's more. There's more. There's some of us in this room who are like, I don't even know how to start praying. Great. that start today. There's some of us in this room who were just like, ooh, that was a tough pill to swallow, but yeah, I need to live a lifestyle of prayer. I need to be reminded of my sonship, that I have access to God, that I have access to the Creator, to the Maker of the heavens and earth. And some of us need to be reminded that our prayers are not just checklists that we give to God, but we say, hey, Lord, here you go. And we have a posture of humility. And so if that's you this morning, if you fall into any of those buckets, can I encourage you to stand up? Where you're just like, Lord, this is me right now this morning when it comes to prayer, when it comes to a posture of prayer, when it comes to a lifestyle of prayer. And if God is tugging at you and say, hey, I want your intimacy with me to deepen in how you live a life of prayer. And if that's you this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand up because I want to pray with you together this morning. Father, Abba, we say thank you. Thank you that at the end of it, you want us. You want us. You want our attention. You want our affection. You want our heart's desires. You want what we want. At the end of the day, it is about you. And we say, if we've turned prayer into a thing that we do, if we've turned prayer into a presentation or a demand of lists and requests, we repent and we say, Lord, change our hearts, renew our minds, and show us and remind us that it's about living a life that beholds your glory, and that glory is revealed as we become more and more like you in how we walk and how we talk and how we live a lifestyle of prayer. And so, Lord, you see the hearts and the step of faith, a call to action of your people. And I say, Lord, won't you cultivate in us a hunger to be in communication with you throughout the day? Won't you cultivate in us a lifestyle of prayer and show us why we pray and why we should have this lifestyle where praying continuously, where praying is just being more aware of who you are, and where praying is like second nature to breathing. So I thank you for this time. I thank you that we have access to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, if you're here and you don't know who this Jesus is, and you're like, oh, I didn't know I could talk to Jesus directly. I didn't know I could talk to God directly. I have great news for you. You can. Because of the perfect and beautiful work of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, the chasm is broken. We have direct access to God our Father, and you have access to God through Jesus. So if you don't know Jesus this morning, come see me. We're going to have prayer partners to our left and to our right, and you can ask them, who is Jesus? Why do I pray? How can I have access to God? Like, what is this about? And if you're not sure, be encouraged and come pray. But if you know Jesus and you have Jesus in your heart, can I encourage you this week? As you go about your Monday through Saturday, just ask yourself, am I more aware of the presence of God today than I was yesterday? And let that be your measuring stick on how you cultivate a lifestyle of prayer. Amen. Amen. Like I said, we'll have our prayer partners to our left and to our right. Henry and I love you all so much. Pastor Mark and Pastor Ellie, love you all so much. Have a great rest of the day, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Hey, thanks again for taking the time to listen to our online service. If today's message blessed you, you can like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, or if you've got a question, you can email us at hello@exchangecc.com.